Chapter 8. Oliver Finds Another Home. In Chertsey, after Sykes had left Oliver in the ditch and run away, the men from the house had given up searching and returned home. The early morning sky grew light, the air turned colder, and it began to rain. Oliver lay in the ditch without moving. Then, at last, with a cry of pain, he woke up. His left arm was covered in blood, and the pain spread through him. With great difficulty, he managed to sit up, shaking with cold. He looked around him at the empty fields. If he stayed where he was, he would surely die. He knew that he must get to his feet and out of the ditch. Using all his strength, he pushed himself up and began to walk. But the world around him turned in circles, and he could not hold up his head. Suddenly, he remembered being with Sykes and Crackit the night before, and the noise of the gun. Then he remembered the light shining in his eyes, being picked up and carried quickly away. He went slowly on through the fields and along the hedges until he came to a road. Finally, he managed to lift up his head. A house stood a little way down the road.
"If I could reach it, they might look after me," he thought. "It would be better to die there than alone in the fields."
But as he got nearer the house, he remembered seeing it before. It was the house they had broken into. He was so terrified that his first thought was to run away, but he could not run. He could hardly stand. Even if he was able to run, where would he go? He pushed open the gate, slowly climbed the steps to the front door, and knocked quietly. Then he fell to his knees. A servant opened the door.
"A boy,"
said Giles to himself, looking down at Oliver on the doorstep. Then he saw the blood on his arm.
"It's one of the thieves," he shouted loudly. "I shot and wounded him last night."
A young woman appeared at the top of the stairs.
"Shh, Giles," she whispered. "You will frighten my aunt even more than the robbers did last night. Is the poor man badly hurt? Bring him upstairs and then fetch the doctor. And be gentle with him. I will go and tell my aunt."
The doctor arrived as the young woman and her aunt were having breakfast, and he hurried in to see them.
"Oh, my dear Mrs. Maley," cried Dr. Losburn. "A robbery in the middle of the night. How frightening! And for you too, Miss Rose," he said, turning to the young woman.
"Yes, but there's someone upstairs whom my aunt would like you to see. One of the thieves," said Rose.
Giles took the doctor upstairs, and after a few minutes, the two men returned downstairs to the ladies.
"Have you seen this thief?" the doctor asked them.
"No,"
Mrs. Maley replied.
"Well, will you come with me and see him? You need not be afraid," said Dr. Losburn.
Upstairs, instead of a rough-looking robber, Rose and her aunt found a small, pale child lying asleep in the bed.
"This poor child cannot have been with the robbers," said Mrs. Maley.
"How young he is," said Rose. "Perhaps he's never known a mother's love or the peace of a home. Aunt, please think of that before you let them take this poor child away to prison. If you hadn't looked after me, I might have been as helpless as this poor boy."
"My dear Rose, I promise I won't hurt a hair on his head," said Mrs. Maley.
What can I do to help him? Do the police have to be told?
She asked the doctor.
I'll talk to Giles, replied the doctor. Let's wait for the boy to wake up, and then we'll find out who he is.
Oliver slept heavily, and it was evening when at last he opened his eyes.
He's very weak, but he wishes to speak to you immediately, the doctor told Mrs. Maley.
Mrs. Maley, Rose and Dr. Losburn listened with tears in their eyes as Oliver told them his whole story. When he had finished, the doctor went to find Giles.
Are you quite sure this boy was with the robbers? He asked Giles. Are you sure you haven't made a mistake?
Giles thought hard.
No, I don't think he was with the robbers. I was wrong, he said slowly.
Oliver was ill for many weeks. As well as his broken arm, his night in the cold and rain had made him extremely sick. But slowly he began to grow stronger. Each time the two ladies of the house sat with him by his bed, he told them how grateful he was.
I wish I could do something for you when I'm able to get up again,
Oliver told Rose one day.
It makes me happy just to think how my dear aunt has saved you from such sadness. I know how grateful you are,
Rose replied.
Oh, yes, I am, said Oliver. But I was thinking that I'm ungrateful now to the kind old gentleman, Mr. Brownlow, and the dear old lady who looked after me before. When you are well enough, I will take you to see them, Rose promised.
Rose kept her promise, and when Oliver was strong enough, they drove in Mrs. Maley's carriage to the street where Mr. Brownlow lived.
There it is, the White House,
cried Oliver, his heart beating fast with excitement. But Mr. Brownlow was not there.
He left for the West Indies 6 weeks ago, the servant told them, and Mrs. Bedwin went with him.
Oliver was greatly disappointed. He had wanted so much to tell these two kind people how Nancy and Sykes had taken him on his way to the bookstall and returned him to Fagin. He could not bear the idea that Mr. Brownlow and Mrs. Bedwin must think him a liar and a thief. As spring approached, Rose and her aunt made plans to leave their house in Chertsey for a few months and go to a cottage in the country.
My aunt would like you to come with us, Rose said to Oliver. The quiet countryside and the pure air will be good for you, I am sure.
So, when the warm weather came, Mrs. Maley and Rose moved to the country, taking Oliver with them. The cottage lay in a lovely place, among green hills and thick woods, and Oliver was very happy there. He had only ever known dirty streets, noise and crowds, but in the country everything was peaceful and beautiful. Every morning he went to see a white-haired old gentleman who lived near the little church and who taught him to read and write. Then he went for walks with Mrs. Maley and Rose, and he listened to them talking about books. In the evenings, Rose played the piano and sang in her gentle voice. 3 months passed in the greatest happiness before a shadow fell upon their lives. One beautiful summer evening, when they returned home from their walk, Rose fell upon the sofa and covered her face.
"Rose, my dear, what is the matter?" cried Mrs. Maley. "You're not ill." I wish I did not have to worry you, Aunt, but I must tell you the truth. I am ill, replied Rose.
Her bloodless face was as pale as stone.
You must go to bed at once and rest, my love, said Mrs. Maylie.
When morning came, Rose was worse.
We must send for Dr. Losburne,
Mrs. Maylie said to Oliver. The old lady quickly wrote two letters and gave them to Oliver. Oliver looked at the envelopes. The first was for Dr. Losburne in Chertsey, whom he knew, and the other was for a Mr. Harry Maylie, whom he did not.
Oliver, please hurry with these letters to the town. There's no time to lose, said Mrs. Maylie.
Oliver ran across the fields as fast as he could, not stopping until he reached the town. When the letters were sent, he could breathe at last, thankful that help was going to come. He turned towards home and ran straight into a tall man in a black coat coming out of a hotel.
"I'm sorry, sir," said Oliver. "I was in a hurry to get home and I didn't see you coming."
"What the devil is this?"
cried the strange man, jumping away.
"Why did the boy come in my way?" he said to himself.
He stared at Oliver with his large dark eyes.
"I'm sorry, sir,"
said Oliver again, confused by the man's wild look.
"I hope I haven't hurt you."
"What are you doing here?"
the strange man demanded, coming towards Oliver as though he was going to hit him. But suddenly the man began to shake violently and he fell to the ground. Oliver ran into the hotel for help, and the man was carried inside safely. Then Oliver hurried home as fast as he could, but when he reached the cottage, he could think of nothing except Rose, who had already got much worse. Dr. Losburne arrived by the evening. Rose had fallen into a deep sleep, the doctor said, from which she might never wake. Mrs. Maylie and Oliver sat in silence for hours, afraid to speak and unable to eat. They watched the sun drop lower and lower in the sky and then disappear. At last they heard the doctor coming down the stairs.
"How is Rose?"
cried Mrs. Maylie.
"Is she dead? Tell me at once."
"Be calm, my dear lady," said the doctor. "She will live." Oliver and Mrs. Maylie cried with happiness when they heard the news.